has spoken many, many truths into our lives this weekend, hasn't he? And a lot to absorb. It's been a very just sweet weekend. I just really sense his presence and his working in all of our lives. Friday evening, the session was Finding the Borders. Saturday, Kathy talked about Do the Pieces Fit? And then about piecing it all together. And then concluded with the pieces to live by. And then this morning we're going to talk about faith for the finished work. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that you are so powerful and so real. And Lord, just your grace and your spirit and what you've accomplished here in our lives. Lord, we came hungry and thirsty. And Lord, you filled us. You satisfied the longing soul. And Lord, we give you the glory and we praise you. And Lord, and in this final time together, we just open our hearts up to your word. And Lord, just pray that you would come upon us, fill us, speak to us. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, after I finish a puzzle, I have to admit that I have a hard time ending, putting it away. And I'm not joking. I make all my family come and notice it, say nice compliments. Any neighbors, any friends, come see my puzzle. But then it's time. It's time to put it away. So I take my hands and I pull it apart and I crumble it up and I put it in the box and I shut the lid and it goes in the closet, and more often than not, it's never completed again because I don't like to redo puzzles. But you know what? I'm so glad that when our days are finished here on earth, that we're not just boxed up, the lid closed on the casket, buried, over, done. No. Instead, for us who are believers in Jesus Christ, the end here is really just the beginning. It's the stepping stone into the unseen, into the eternal. And we're going to pick up where Kathy left off, and we are going to go right into chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, because they go together. It completes the thought and the exhortation that Paul has given us in chapter 4. And so we want to read. Let's read verses 1 through 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, in other words, the skin that we are in, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Each of us is God's workmanship. We're a project in progress. And he is going to be faithful to complete the work. And we're all a unique design. But while we're here on earth, what the Lord concentrates on us about is the inner work that his spirit does in us. It's the forming of our hearts to be more like him, to have that heart of love that Kathy spoke about, that is one of the primary borders of our life. So he's forming our heart to be a heart of love like his. He's transforming our minds, isn't he? He's wanting us to become Christ-like, the mind of Christ, to think on heavenly things, heavenly-minded. And so he's working that in our lives. And then he's conforming our will to his. And boy, that's probably the biggest project he has, huh? Conforming our will to his. Not my will be done, but your will be done in my life. So this inner work of his spirit is taking place. But one day, girls, we're going to wake up and we're going to be in his likeness. We're going to see him face to face in his presence. And then he's going to complete an outer work in our lives by giving us glorified bodies, changed bodies. They're going to be suited for heavenly realm. Now, I know some of you probably don't want a changed body. You want to turn yours in for a new model. But don't worry. It's going to be good. Don't lose heart. Just as God can make an oak out of a kernel or a tulip out of a bulb, he makes a new body out of the old. And it will be spectacular. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be complete. It was so amazing last night how many of you, you know, suffer some kind of physical ailment. And just the reality that Kathy talked about of the decay and the process of that. But they won't be there in heaven. It's going to be glorified. And I like how Paul uses the term house here, eternal in the heavens, because to me that speaks of familiarity, of being at home, of being comfortable. You know, it's not like we're going to get this, you know, new body and it's going to be some alien thing, you know, that we don't know what to do with, and or other people, we're not going to be recognizable. No, it's just going to be glorified. It's going to be changed, and it's going to be custom made. When we put on our new bodies, when we're clothed in them, it will be a perfect fit, and death is going to be swallowed up by life. Amen. Does that excite you? And that is just glorious. And you know, it makes you want to shout hallelujah, amen, but doesn't it also just make you want to groan for glory that Paul speaks about here? Groaning for glory. You know that sensation deep within your soul that just wells up. Sometimes it comes out in a noise, but that groaning deep within us because we're longing for completion. We're longing for glory. Did you know creation groans? The Bible tells us it groans also waiting for the day when it will be freed from the bondage of corruption. And then in Romans 8:23 it says, "We groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." You know, when I go to funerals, I experience this many, many times. You know, you're sitting there, you're hearing, you're reflecting. That person I loved was here yesterday. Now they are in the presence of God. And it's like this groaning inside my spirit because I want to be there. You know, it's like they just stepped into that heavenly realm and you feel so close to it. You know, you want to just grab a hold of it and be there. And that happens to us, or it should happen to us, that just anticipation for glory, to be home. Did you notice yesterday when Kathy was talking about the story in John 11 about the death of Lazarus? Did you catch that twice it mentioned that Jesus groaned in the spirit? And I took time to I never really paid attention to that before. And why? And what was that about? And I need more time to meditate on it. But I imagine that he groaned watching the people he loved, his friends, mourn the loss and the separation by death, knowing that one day soon he would provide the way for the redemption of the body, that through his death and resurrection, death would be swallowed up. He knew, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will not perish, but have everlasting life." So we groan. We long for home. In other words, we're homesick. It's a homesickness. It reminds me of my Amanda. Amanda, all through elementary school, she's very social. She loves her social life. And she would get invited over to friends' homes and was just loved that. But more often than not, she would get invited to a sleepover or a slumber party. And there would be this part of her just wanting it so badly, and she would beg to go. And I would let her go. But then I'd get the call late at night. "Mom, I want to come home." And she's just crying. crying. I miss you. I need you. I mean, this, and you know, it was so endearing. I never, like, pushed her in that because, I mean, I liked that she wanted to be home. You know, that was familiarity. That was safety for her. And so, you know, I really protected her in that. I didn't want her to get made fun of or anything because, literally, girls, she just grew out of that when she hit junior high. Okay, even up and through fifth grade. I mean, she, sometimes fifth grade, you know, she was trying so hard to be brave, but you could just see the anxiety in her as she just pondered and she'd tell her friend yes, and then later it would be, some of you know in here because you've had her at your house. So, but that's that feeling of just, you know, homesickness, begging to come home. Girls, may we never outgrow homesickness. This world is not our home. We are just passing through. I love that song. I think it's by Switchfoot. We were made for something more than this. Wait, we were made for so much more. And then what's the next line? Have we lost our minds? No, <I'm> kidding. No, have we what? Have we lost ourselves and our minds? We're just passing through. We need to keep that loose grip. Do not get comfortable here. Don't get complacent. Don't cozy in and settle in. This is not our home. I love this quote. It says, "The greatest calamity is not to feel far from home when you are, but to feel right at home when you are not." Turn with me. Keep your place here, but go backwards to Romans chapter 8. I mean, yeah, backwards. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 24. It says, "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." We need to have perseverance, okay? We are going home. Let's move on here to verses 5 through 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, "Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." You know, there are millions of people in this world that have no faith. They do not have a confidence in their future. Is there a heaven and a hell? Where am I going after I die? And I think they just look at us who are believers in Christ, and I just think they're dumbfounded by our faith. How do you know that you know that you know? Well, Scripture tells us right here, because he gave us his Spirit as a guarantee. And when you've truly accepted Jesus into your heart to be Lord and Savior of your life, he comes in. And you know, it does not take long, does it, before you know he's real. Because all of a sudden you're changing. And you're sensing him. And you're learning his voice. And he starts teaching you and instructing you and comforting you and exhorting you and guiding you. And it's like, you know what? I don't care what anybody says. Nobody can tell me that I don't know that I know that I know that he's real. And it gives me such an assurance and confidence for the future. Jesus gave us his Spirit as that guarantee, as the engagement ring for what is ahead. And did you know that the Holy Spirit, he has another ministry? Back in Romans chapter 8, I'm kind of flip-flopping between the two, but Romans 8:26, it goes on to say, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I love that. That should give us such comfort to know that the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. And sometimes it's in that groaning. He knows. He knows what's best. He knows what we truly need in our lives. You know, we're trying to figure out the pieces. He knows, and he prays on our behalf. I love that. He intercedes. We're not alone, girls, in this world. We're not alone. You're never, ever alone. And so we can walk by faith and not by sight. Now, that doesn't mean it's easy. We have lapses of faith. Do you have lapses of faith? I have lapses of faith. You know, it's really just the reality of our human nature. Although we don't need to see, boy, we sure want to see sometimes, huh? We'd like to see, like, the finished. What is 10 years from now? What is going to happen to me, you know, 30 years from now? We would desire that. I mean, that would be so much easier if the Lord would just give us a peek, if he'd give us a view of it. But you know what? He's not going to do that. And it's really interesting that the reality is, for I think all of us, is that it's easier to have strong faith in the eternal future and yet lack faith for today. Why? It's because we see today. It's right in front of our view. And today can be a little overwhelming at times. We have all the issues of life, and they're not always glorious to behold. There's the challenges and the trials and the needs and the expectations and the temptations. And it can look very, very difficult. And it's easy to get fixed on just here and now, or one specific trial in our lives, huh? How it can just take us over. You know, it's like even in a puzzle, sometimes you're so determined, you're just, I'm going to find that one piece, and you spend so much time looking for that one piece, and everything just starts getting blurry, and it's just such a waste. It's like, just move on, and pretty soon that piece, all of a sudden, will be like, oh, there it is, plain sight, you know, and it's that way in our lives. And just to step back, trust for the big view, the big picture, trust our Lord. You know, sometimes we feel like we just can't do it. I am going through a time in my life where I just feel like I can't be the right kind of mom. And, you know, everyone who's been a parent, I know it's just reality. I think we all go through that. We want so desperately to do it right, you know. And I'm not going to cry, and I'm not going to go into all my little stories. But, you know, life isn't miserable. Don't worry. But I just, that's the area right now in my life where I just lack faith. I lack faith. Lord, I can't do it. I'm blowing it. Well, we can't, but God can. And, you know, sometimes he does it in such mysterious ways. And I love that about our Lord. My mother-in-law, Sandy, which she's not here. I miss her, but she's having some health issues and needed to stay home. But her and Dad, okay, they don't do puzzles, okay? She doesn't like puzzles. I know some of you don't like puzzles, and I'm praying for you. It's okay. But Dad, actually, he does, but they never do them at home. I mean, he'll come over and see mine and put in a few pieces. But anyways, I get this call from her one day, and they must have been really bored, because she's like, Denise, I need you to come over here and help me. Because me and Dad, we're working on a puzzle, and we've been working on it for days. And we need help. Can you come over? And I wanted to, but it was like not a day where I had puzzle time to play. So I was like, sorry, Mom, you know, I can't help you with that. Well, this is so hilarious. A couple days later, she calls me up and tells me that you'll never believe what happened. And they got a knock on the door, and one of the kids in the neighborhood needed to do service hours, okay? I'm already giving it away. And he had his tools, and he wanted to know, you know, do you need any yard work done or anything? Well, Mom, I have just the project for you. I need your help. Come on in. She fed him. Sit down. And she told him to finish the puzzle. And he did. And it took him like 2 hours, and she was so excited, you know, for the finished work. And I can you imagine what this guy, this kid's parents thought when he got home and told him what he did? But, you know, just helping hands, and they can come out of anywhere. And you know what? On a serious note, God wants to use helping hands in our lives. Why do we resist that so much? It's just pride. You know, we are the body of Christ. We are his hands. We are his feet. And sometimes, aren't you so blessed when it's the sisters and people around you and family that connect with you, that minister, that help put a piece in, that help just clear the vision, that come alongside? And I just want to encourage you to let people help, to let people be a part of the work that God's doing in your lives. Answers to prayer come in all shapes and sizes. You know, when it comes to the pieces of our lives, of course we want to see the completed picture. It's easier, it's faster. But remember, what's it called here? A walk of faith, okay? It doesn't say a drive by faith. It's a walk by faith. Okay? It means put one foot in front of the other and walk, okay? Plain and simple. We've got to do it. You know, Yvonne mentioned, we just got done doing 1st and 2nd Peter at Calvary Vista, and that was one of the big exhortations from Peter, was to walk by faith, to put feet to our faith, to take the action. And you know, heaven should not simply be a destination, but a motivation in our lives. It's not just a destination, a motivation. Let's pick up, lost my place, 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. You know, it's Christianity, our walk. It's not about how we look to other people. You know, I think we can spend so much time worried about what Sister So-and-so thinks of us, or what the church leadership thinks of us, or what our parents think of us. It's how God views you. It's what does God see in me? How do I look to my Abba Father? How do I look to my bridegroom, Jesus Christ? And Paul makes it clear here, there's two motivation factors for us to live by. One is love. We've learned that all weekend. It starts with love. Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. You're going to keep my word. Abide in me. Abide in my love. That has to be the motivation for our lives. It has to be that personal, self-motivated choice, and not a bunch of have-tos, but want-tos. And the more you love him and discover his love for you, it will motivate you. I love 1 John 2:28. It says, abide in him that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming. And then the second motivation is future rewards. Future rewards. Our Father is going to one day reward us for our lives, for our works, for our deeds. And he's looking forward to it. He is going to give out crowns and rewards. We can't even really fathom that, but that's his desire, is to bless us. It's hard to comprehend, but that is his heart. And he's going to see, he's going to look at the borders of our life. He's going to look at our ministry to God and our ministry for God. Now, the judgment seat of Christ, it should not scare us. It should motivate us to purity and righteousness and goodness, that we would want to please our Father as his daughters. There's a quote that says, Christianity knows no truth which is not the child of love and the parent of duty. I'm going to say that again. Christianity knows no truth which is not the child of love and the parent of duty. It's both. We're motivated by our love for Abba, but also the parent of duty, knowing, look, this is what he's done for me. I want to please him. Just like as a child, you want to please your parents. Don't you long for the day when you're going to stand before him and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in. That's just going to be amazing. What is the aim in your life? What is the aim in your life? You know, we have the example of Jesus who's gone before us, who said, I always do those things that please him. And then even the Father, when he looked at his son after he was baptized and came up and the Holy Spirit came upon him, what did the Father say? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So it all begins with Jesus. He is worthy. It's because of his blood that our sins are washed away. You know, the reality is not everything when we do stand before, not everything is going to last. You know, it's going to go through the fire. It's going to be seen for the motives and the purity of our heart. And you know, there's some bad. There's going to be some bad, right? I mean, that's the reality. Not everything in our lives and things that we do is good. There is some bad. Not all will stand that test. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can be washed clean. And in salvation, we're not only clean, but we're clothed. We have the wedding garment. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Jesus removed our robe of stains and replaced it with his robe of righteousness. And the Father, he sees you right now, sitting here, clothed in white, clothed in the robe of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is amazing. And one day, we're going to be further clothed. Amen? Amen? Death swallowed up by life. I'm going to have the worship team come forward. We're going to go into a time of communion. I think what better way to just end our weekend than to sit here and ponder and meditate Jesus and meditate what he has accomplished for us on the cross, to worship him. But before we worship him, and I really want you to listen, we're going to spend a couple minutes of just quietness. There's just going to be instrumental music, but I want you to try and block out the person next to you. And if you're a journaler, get out some paper. And I just want you to just listen. What has the Lord spoken in my heart this weekend? What is he speaking to me right now? And write that down, what you want to thank him for, what he's accomplished in your life here. And just to take time to remember Jesus. And so I'm going to give you a couple minutes to do that. I do not want you to start talking to your neighbor when you're done. Just stay in an attitude of just quietness and waiting upon the Lord, okay?